From the center of the hockey universe, this is the Off the Post Podcast.
Welcome to the Off the Post Podcast. I'm your host, John Mattis, and today on the line from Arizona, I have Connor Murphy of the Arizona Coyotes. He is a third-year defenseman for them, and he's joining us today, hopefully with good audio quality. We're going through some technical difficulties here, but how's it going, Connor?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Pretty good. But the first question, it's a really hard-hitting one. Are you aware that there is a guy with the same name as you that is a very ripped model?
That is actually really funny you mentioned that. The past, like, month, I've been getting, like, on social media, especially Instagram, there's a lot of people that'll, like, send me direct messages or they'll follow me and comment on my stuff and they think I'm him. And then a lot of them get suspicious. And there's random people that'll send me, like selfies of them, like, flexing and stuff. And I don't understand. It took me a while to catch on. And I was real creeped out, but I guess, yeah, there's some guy, bodybuilder, and obviously he's got a pretty good following.
Yeah, I saw his Instagram, and it's a lot of shirtless photos, and he has something like 160,000 followers. So he's got a pretty big following you've got to live up to here.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully I can maybe I'll have to get a hold of him and see if he can give me a shout-out and get things cleared up.
Yeah, no kidding. It's kind of like Ryan Murphy, actually, on the Hurricanes. He's got a Hollywood connection there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And another non-hockey question right off the bat. I noticed you guys, you had your golf tournament yesterday, and there was a wolf on the course, according to at least the photo I saw online. Did you encounter this wolf?
No, I was lucky to stay away from too many scary animals out there. It's funny, I've been here for a few years, and I still even haven't seen a rattlesnake. And there's a lot of stories, guys walking their dogs out in the desert and seeing them go by, but I hate snakes, and I can probably handle that. I can handle the coyotes and the wolves and stuff, but as soon as people start talking about mountain lions and rattlesnakes, that's when I check out.
Yeah, no kidding. There's definitely a limit there.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Arizona, Gary Bettman, he says that the NHL hasn't given up on the market. This is kind of the news of the day that Bettman has told the Glendale market and the politicians there that there needs to be some sort of long-term solution with the team. And I'm not going to ask you to give me, you know, your political view on the whole situation, but I'm curious, how do guys in the room deal with kind of the uncertainty surrounding the Arizona Coyotes? Because it seems like, you know, since you've been there the whole tenure and even longer, there's always been kind of a cloud of doubt in terms of, oh, are they going to move? Are they going to relocate? What arena are they going to be in next year? That sort of thing. How do the guys deal with that?
Yeah, I saw the quote came out today about them bringing stuff up again, and it was kind of disappointing to see it, things fell through with the Tempe situation. But I know all the guys are supportive, along with all the fans in the Valley of finding a good home to stay for a long time in the city or somewhere around here. And I know as much as everyone does and stuff that gets released online or Twitter, and try to stay up with it that way. But I know that everyone that I've talked to, a part of the organization, is really, really trying to keep it here and really wants to make sure that we can find a place. And it's nice to see their support around for the same things to happen.
Yeah, I'm in the camp of wanting the team to stay. I've always, you know, not really understood people who didn't like the Sun Belt moves made by the NHL and expanding south into non-traditional markets. I mean, it's bred a guy like Austin Matthews, so I think that's something to hang your hat on in terms of the Arizona market, where one of the best players in the league already is a guy who grew up watching the Coyotes and, you know, brings kind of a different flavor, I guess you could say, to the league, whereas, you know, he's not from New York or Massachusetts or Ontario. It's kind of neat how it has a ripple effect having the Coyotes there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you look at the impact of even a guy like Shane Doan. I mean, he was voted most recognizable athlete, I think it was, around the Valley. And, I mean, he got voted ahead of Larry Fitzgerald. And for how big football is here, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It just, guys like that and the impact they've had, and really the fan base that has grown here, and how many people are so loyal to the team, and making sure that they want hockey to continue to grow. And it's cool to see even the Junior Coyotes teams and the youth and how far they've come. And obviously Austin Matthews being a staple of kind of where they want to evolve and then get guys to be NHL players and become a big market. It's really exciting to see, and I'm definitely, proud to be playing here and be part of that. And we just want to have success and help that move along. But I think it is pretty cool with guys like Austin Matthews, and I think Shane Doan deserves a lot of credit for coming here right from the beginning and being such a good leader by example of what hockey is in a city.
Yeah, and if we can just pause on Shane for a second. Obviously, like you said, he's an icon in the area, and I'm pretty surprised that he kind of ranks higher than Larry Fitzgerald on the recognizable scale. So that's pretty impressive. In terms of what he means to the franchise, because he's been around so long, and there were rumors that he might have wanted out this season just to kind of get a chance at a cup. What has he meant to the organization since you've gotten there? You've been there about four or five years, if you count the AHL. Do you really see kind of an aura around him where he represents the whole organization at all times?
For sure, yeah. He's a guy, I think, when you talk about the example of a leader, he pictures just about everything there is with how he carries himself and how he treats his teammates and how he treats the fans and how hard he works and respects the game. It's pretty cool, and the passion he has for it. You can see it a lot in players that have come up with our team over the last few years. Everyone talks about him being a guy that's so good to talk to. And right from the get-go, everyone's got their own individual story of him approaching them the first time they became a part of the organization and making them feel comfortable and reaching out and trying to get a feel for what you're like as a guy and make a connection. And that's big, and it makes everyone close, and it kind of brings that bond of the team that's really needed to succeed together. And it's unfortunate that we haven't done better for him, and that's a tough feeling, but any sort of good things that have come around, a lot of it's been him having a little part in it.
Yeah, and there was kind of a viral video of him going around where he had been interviewed in between periods about a week or two ago. It was right after the Martin Hanzel trade, and he was asked, what are your thoughts on the trade? And he got flabbergasted and frustrated and didn't really give a full answer, but you could tell in his head his wheels were turning, where it's like, I don't want to necessarily be part of a long rebuild. I want this thing to move along. And I don't know if he just got caught up in the moment and wasn't, thinking of the big picture, but did you see that video?
Yeah, I saw it. What I took from it was just that he's passionate about each guy in our team. I think he's like, you talk to him and he's your biggest fan. It's pretty cool. Like a guy that you look up to is how good of a great of a career he's had, and how much each guy in our team he believes in and wants to see do well and wants to stay. So it's hard. Everyone was hit hard, definitely that day with Marty and Whitey getting traded and Michael Stone getting traded earlier before that. And we've been through it years before with some trades of some guys that were really good character guys and key players. And it's hard emotionally to take that. And I think that's all what I saw just in the interview, that donor just really cares and wants to succeed. And he wants players to be here. And it's a tough thing to handle situations when guys are gone.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a tough year for you guys. Right now you're 23-35-7, and the playoffs aren't even really a question at this point. You play Ottawa tomorrow at home and then New Jersey at home on Saturday, and there's about, 10 or so games after that. It's obviously coming to a close. A lot of people had you pegged as sort of, a team on the rise, a team that's going to take the next step this year and build towards being a playoff-worthy team. Can you sum up what's happened this year in terms of not meeting expectations?
Yeah, it's been very frustrating. Especially, I thought last year we took a step forward with kind of our play and being able to climb standing a little more and have a good start and have stuff to look forward to. And this year, not meeting even close to where our expectation was of where it was supposed to go. And I think our team really slumped early on, and it was hard for us to click. And then we kind of went through a spurt even when we fell off after halfway point, where we started winning some more games and seeing things go a little better. But I mean, I wish I had the answers. I think a lot of guys do, and I think if you ask everyone, they have the same amount of frustration about it. But it's just, it's hard, and we're kind of at the point where we're trying to move past it and look toward building our game and individually and as a team right now till the end of the season to try to get momentum going for next year and fight for roles and jobs, and guys really still have a lot to play for. And it's hard to handle being at the bottom of standings, but we're trying to work hard and work toward being a better team as soon as now.
And you're locked in for, I believe, another 5 years till 21-22. You signed a 6-year deal in the summer. So obviously you're part of this team. You're part of the core. How would you guys kind of turn it around? Is it more just kind of seeing the prospects blossom and coming together all at the right time? Because no one's going to argue that you guys have a great collection of prospects coming through the pipe between Dylan Strome and, Christian Dvorak, if you want to call him a prospect still, Anthony Duclair, Mac Domi still really young, Clayton Keller.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of forwards that are going to be able to put the puck in the net down the road. Is that kind of what the organization is preaching? Is, you know, as long as we're doing the right things down the stretch, it's all going to come together over time?
Yeah, you can see the youth and how it's really starting to play into effect. And I think what we're preaching, or they're preaching, is to make sure things are pushed along the right way of how we're performing and working toward being a good team. We just want to see it work in the right way, where there's going to be talent, but we want the talent to work hard and come together cohesively and make sure that it's one unit that's helping wins. It doesn't mean much if we have a bunch of talented players who aren't coming together as a team. I think it's going to be important for guys to really hold each other accountable and make sure we all accept the part that it's not acceptable. just making sure it's not acceptable for what we've gone through this year, and that we need to win, and it's not going to happen letting losses slip into big things, and make sure that we become a top team. And that's just a day by day build of making sure young guys and older guys are coming together and playing as best they can.
And you're in your third full season with the Coyotes, and obviously you spent some time in the AHL before then. And you came through the U.S. National Development Program and then switched to the thorniest thing of the OHL. If you're summing up your career so far in the NHL, you know, how would you evaluate it? Are you happy with the gains that you've made, or do you think there's still a lot to come in terms of what you can bring to the table as an NHLer, I guess, in his prime in a couple of years?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that was agreed by both me and the team here that we see better days of being able to develop into a complete top defenseman, and that's something that I'm still working toward, and I've been happy with progress and things I've learned and the help I've gotten from the support I've gotten from the team just to be kind of a hard playing defensive guy that's gonna maybe make a good first pass and try to contribute the odd time, but it's something that I still feel like there's things I'm developing and working on a consistency to try to be able to play against top lines and be relied upon in big moments, and it's something that I think is still a work in progress, and I'm definitely not satisfied with where I'm at, and see work that will be exciting to get done and have contribute to more wins and stuff in the future for our team.
And you're an interesting case study in terms of the way the game is going with, you know, stay-at-home defensemen are kind of getting eked out of the game, but not in your case because you're a good skater and you can make the first pass very well. You're kind of in the middle there where you're old school but also new school. I actually talked to your old teammate Connor Carrick, plays for the Leafs. Talked to him a couple weeks ago. You guys didn't cross paths for too long. He said you guys knew each other, but not super well. But as a player, he says, this is the direct quote, he's a heady guy. It's always been his brand. A bigger, steady guy, tries to make every play a good one, not overly dynamic. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I think, my game's a lot on trying to be a smart thinker and being in good position defensively, and a guy that can kind of not be too risky, I guess is the word. It's just trying to be competitive in the way of making some hits every now and then, and being physical, but being a guy that can use my size, reach, and skating to try to defend and be able to match up against guys that are highly offensive. So that's something I try to do, is be good defensively first. And I think that is the way the NHL is going a bit, where every D-man's got to be able to move the puck and join the rush a little bit and be a good skater. And even though if you're bigger, you still got to move well, or else these small skill guys are going to get around you pretty easily. So it's something that I got to be able to do consistently and try to play that way for sure.
And you have a great mentor, if you want to call him that, in Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You've been playing with him this season. You've split your minutes between him and Jacob Chychrun, the rookie there, but if we just focus on Ekman-Larsson, what can you say about him in terms of being around him day-to-day? Because a lot of people don't appreciate him because you guys are in a smaller southern market. I feel like he's a bit underrated, and, you know, you being with him every day, is there anything that sticks out that maybe people don't exactly notice?
Yeah, I think his overall game, like he's obviously the things that you see most times in highlights and watching games is how much he's involved offensively with on the power play and setting up plays to help us score. But defensively, he's got such a long reach and he's really smart and he defends well. So it's a lot on his shoulders when he's got to go up against the top line every night, and then also contribute offensively with how dynamic he is that way. So that's stuff that's not easy as a D-man. You see when how much he's got a control in a game. It's definitely impressive to see what he can do. And he's obviously a big leader and arguably our best player. So it's a lot on him every night, really.
And what about Jacob Chychrun? Because he was drafted later than a lot of people thought. He kind of fell in the draft, but, I mean, none of that matters now. But your GM, John Chayka, traded so that he could actually pick him. So obviously he was high on your guys' list, or Chayka thought really high expectations of him. But I've read quotes where John says, oh, you know, we didn't really expect him to be this good. And then he makes a team out of training camp and he stuck around. What have you noticed about him, and what can you say about a guy like him who's 18, maybe 19 now, but still a teenager doing his thing as a defenseman in the NHL?
Yeah, I think what he showed right away is how physically mature he is, and the way that he can compete with the guys in the league with how strong he is in his skates. And he's a really fast skater. Like he gained a lot of confidence this year, and last little while, if you watch, he's a guy that's jumped up with the puck a lot more, and he's so fast, he breaks away and starts the rush a lot from standing still from defensive zone faceoff. So it's pretty cool, and I've been played with him a little bit, and it's nice to see how much confidence and stuff he's learned throughout the year, and he'll be a big part of our D-Corps, and obviously he's impressed a lot of people and exceeded expectations from before the draft, and you want to see him definitely guys like that do so well, and it's pretty impressive to see when you're that young to be able to have an impact and make a roster and be able to play that many games.
And to pivot to John Chayka, your GM, and speak about kind of the organizational philosophy, whenever his name is mentioned, people, you know, their word clouds go straight to analytics and straight to the numbers, because that's his background, and he's a young guy and he's kind of part of this new generation of executives. Now, as a player, you know, I noticed that through reading a story the other day that you actually commented in it where Chayka had talked to Duclair, Anthony Duclair, about fixing a certain thing in his game, and he was basically relaying something that they saw in the data and bringing it down to them or to Duclair at the AHL level. Duclair did it well, and now he's back in the NHL.
Essentially, the team used data and the eye test to have a teaching moment with Duclair, and he went back on the ice, performed well under these new conditions or under these new teaching points. And so now I'm curious, from your perspective, are you all in on the analytics? Like, when you hear about this stuff or when the team talks about it in passing, do you care? Do you pick it up? Are you into it?
Yeah, I'm actually not really educated on the analytics stuff. I know I'm not a big stats guy in general. I think there's some stuff we have after every game where the league tracks shots and block shots and hits, and really it's all on the discretion of who's keeping track of it and what they see as what a hit is or a block shot or things like that. And it's definitely debatable, and sometimes it doesn't make sense on what counts as what. But I think they, from what I've heard, they have some sort of an algorithm or a certain stats that are looked in pretty in depth for what your role is, and that's how they can compare. And if that's the case, then that does sound pretty accurate. And I'm not a big fan of just, like I said, stats analytics, but from what I've heard, guys being shown and how things have been able to compare, I hear it is actually helpful. And a guy like Duclair, to be able to see things that show on paper that you are doing things right and you are working hard and contributing, even though on the stat line it doesn't show that you have a goal or assist or whatever the case is, that's definitely helpful. And it's pretty cool to have some sort of result after a game or a period of games to be able to dissect your game and try to see things that you can do a little better at and improve your game. So I think anything like that, when used in the right way, definitely will help.
Now, do you have an extra coach, I guess you could call him, on your radar? Your dad obviously is an assistant coach in the NHL and longtime NHLer, Gord Murphy. Do you guys talk about hockey much, or is it kind of off limits now that you're both in the NHL?
Yeah, we talk. I think we have our times where we're outside of the rink and we just kind of want to talk about other stuff and not bring up hockey much when we're out around it so much every day. But we definitely do, and it's nice. He played 14 years and been coaching for pretty much just as long now. So he's seen a lot and been through a lot of different situations. So it's cool to relay things to him and get kind of another set of eyes for some feedback every now and then. But it's definitely nice, and both my parents are very supportive, so it's cool to have that, and we're definitely a pretty big hockey family, so I've been used to it, and it's nice to have that along with everyone else here to be able to help.
And you guys had a 20th anniversary game a few weeks back. The first thing about that is those jerseys that you guys wore. I'm a huge fan. I don't know if everyone shares that opinion. I love the logo with the coyote holding the hockey stick and just the checkered colors. And I'm just a huge fan of it. It's a throwback. Did you like the jersey?
Oh, love them. Yeah. I think all the guys here have agreed that it's their favorite jersey. It's pretty unique. Like it's awesome. It's just the colors and it's flashy. It's got a lot of different patterns going on it, but I think they look pretty sharp, and we definitely want to see them more. I think it makes it pretty exciting when they come out just every once in a while. It probably keeps the value of them, which is pretty cool, but I definitely hope they keep them around as something we wear more and more, because they're definitely unreal.
Were you aware that Shane Doan was wearing a signed Mike Gartner jersey during the game?
I saw that during a face-off, and I was confused, and I told him, I said, you know that, like, I thought he was wearing it just for whether it was before warm-ups, he forgot to switch jerseys or whatever it was, but he said he signed, he knew about it, and he said he loved that. He said anytime you get a player that good to sign your jersey, he said he's going to show it off. So that's pretty funny. I thought maybe there's going to be some sort of penalty or rule for that, for tampering with your jersey, but I loved it. So you never know, you're going to have some guys around the league having autographs from guys that are all the plans.
Yeah, no, I was watching the game, and he's going to the bench, and they kind of zoom in on his jersey just, you know, in passing, and I'm like, is that a signed jersey? And then eventually they talked about in the broadcast where they're like, Mike Gardner went around and was signing jerseys, and I guess Dome decided to wear his that night.
Yeah. I've never seen that before. Like I said, I'm almost surprised that they allowed him to play with it, but it's pretty funny.
Now, I'm going to let you go in a minute here. I really appreciate your time, but one last question, and like we started off the top, it's going to be non-hockey. Well, I guess it's sort of hockey, but the Coyotes' official account a couple weeks ago told fans in Section 112 to stop doing the wave. Like, obviously, it was a joke and everything, but it kind of made the rounds on social media. I'm curious, do you like the wave? Is it distracting as a player, or is it all just in good fun?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking with someone today. I was asking one of our staff why they tweeted it. They just said because they saw that it's usually never done, and that it's not really. They said it wasn't really a hockey thing. I'm all for fans having fun. If it's as long as they're not throwing stuff at the players, I think it's all good stuff. Anything that gets the people involved. So it didn't bother me, but I thought it was pretty. I think it's funny. I think any of that social media, the tweets and everything to be interactive with the fans, even if it was a lighthearted thing, just saying they don't do the wave is pretty funny. And some people obviously it looks like they take it seriously on social media, but I think all that stuff's in good fun, and I don't mind it. I think anything the fans they pay to go to the game, so they're allowed to have fun in what ways they do.
Yeah, some people get really worked up about things like the wave, and it's like, it's just a thing that people do. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion about it, other than doing the wave, say, at a baseball game when it's the bottom of the ninth and, you know, intense moment. Maybe pick your spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if there's a lull in the game, then I guess I don't blame them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Connor, I appreciate your time, and I hope you do well down the stretch of the season here and are able to tackle that other Connor Murphy problem with the shirtless guy using your name to get famous.
Either that or I'll just have to get jobs like him and just have it work out both ways.
Exactly. All right, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John.